feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. How good are you at keeping your commitments? Are there times when you keep your word, while at other times you justify breaking your commitment? We are looking at a story about commitments that can be quite disturbing. It's the story of Jephthah and his daughter, and is found in Judges chapter 11. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord that if God would give him victory, he would offer to the Lord the first thing that came out of his house. God did give Jephthah the victory, and the first thing that came out of his house was his daughter. Although it was excruciating for Jephthah, he kept his commitment to the Lord. Let's now join Pastor John as we consider the importance of keeping our commitments.
You say, so why would he be honored? Why would he be a guy that would be held up and exalted in Hebrews chapter 11? Because of Psalm 15. He was a guy that shows you and me what it means to keep a commitment that we have made and spoken and pledged previously. We live in a culture at a time in a day when people do not keep commitments at all. People say one thing and then they go right out and do something else. We know very little in our culture today about commitments. Politicians will say, oh, I have no interest in running for a higher office. I'm going to fulfill my term as senator of New York. Or whatever it might be. Just watch and see what happens. These politicians, you know, they reflect our culture. They reflect you and me, our culture, you see, who say one thing, whatever is convenient to say, but do not intend, nor do we expect them to follow through. That's not God's way. And it spills over not just into the political arena, but in every area, including family life, doesn't it? I will stay with you, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, until what? Death separates us. I'm going to be here for you. I don't care how bad the marriage might get. I don't care what you do to me or how hard it is for me. Honey, on this day, standing here before these folks, I pledge to you, I promise to you, I will be here for you for better or for worse. Marriage used to be based on commitment. And the family was stable in our culture and society. No more. It doesn't mean a thing. People take vows and make promises and pledges, and they don't mean it for better or for worse. But blessed is the man, God declares, who will keep his commitment even though it brings him hurt. Like Jephthah, you see. A number of years ago, I read an article about a jewelry store there on Rodeo Drive in Hollywood. You know, that fancy place where Hollywood stars go and buy their clothes and jewelry and all those things. And in the sign of that jewelry store was a big notice that said, "We rent wedding rings." And it caught the attention of some reporter, some observer, and it was a great comment on the culture that we live in. We rent wedding rings? Why buy? You only need it for a year or two or three. Just rent. You know, turn it back in. Whatever, you see. Commitment. The question that I have for us today is, how about you and me in our marriage to Jesus Christ? Do we do what we've promised to? Do we do what we pledged that we would do? Remember there on January 1st, oh, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a chunk of scripture every day. Here's my little schedule and all the rest. And here I go. Lord, this is the year I'm going to read through the Bible. January 1st. Oh, but we forgot the Rose Bowl's on. So we watch the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Toilet Bowl, whatever bowl Mike comes on. And pretty soon we're so tired, we go to bed January 1st. Oh, but I'm going to hit it real hard January 2nd, you see. And January 2nd comes our way, and we start in, and we get through Genesis 1:1-3, three verses. And then suddenly, oh, man, I forgot. Well, I'm going to really start it February 1st. That's going to be it, you see. And we don't keep that which we've committed to him, sad to say. We make these stands, these pledges. Oh, I'm going to be at church on Wednesday night. I'm going to be there because I need to go through the Word. Even if it's hard for me or a challenge to me, I'm going to be going through the Word, allowing the Word then to go through me. But then, oh man, Little League, you know. And oh my, you know, it's just my sore tennis elbow. It hurts when I hold the Bible like this, so I better stay home for 2 years. Or whatever it might be. We make these great promises and these grand commitments and these powerful pledges, and yet, sad to say, oh, I'm going to have family devotions. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let a week go by where I don't meet with my kids and my wife, my bride, whoever it might be, and have family devotions. That's what I'm going to do. Count me in. Lord, I promise you, my family's going to be founded on you. But then, you see, well, one of the kids has a date that night, and the other kid, he's got math homework to do, and we say, well, you know, this isn't fitting in the schedule, so I'll just wait till next week, and we'll start it then. We have very little understanding about, in our day, what it means to be committed to anything. Really. Commitment is high on the agenda of our Lord. He wants me and you to be the company of the committed. He wants us to indeed do what we've promised to do and keep the commitments that we've made to him, even if it's difficult, even if it's painful, even if it's problematic. Commitments are important. Why? God responds to sacrificial commitments. He just does. People say, I want to be blessed in my family. I want to be blessed in my life. I want to be blessed in my marriage on the job site. How can I be? Let me tell you, God responds to sacrificial commitments. There in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was the one that said, Lord, if you give me a child, I don't have any kids. I'm barren. I want a baby. If you give me a child, I'll give him to you. He'll serve you, Lord, all the days of his life. He'll grow up in your temple. He'll be at your disposal. God said, I like that. And she was impregnated, this barren lady. And the babe that she birthed, his name was Samuel, one of the greatest Old Testament characters. She made a radical commitment. Lord, if you give me this, I'll give him to you. God responded to that. I think of Shammah there in 2 Samuel 23, one of David's men. The Philistines were coming. Everybody split because the Philistines were coming, and the men of David were outnumbered, and Shammah was there, and he had a job to do. The commander had given Shammah a simple task: guard the beans. And Shammah was there guarding the beans. Everybody else was running away from the Philistines. And Shammah said, no, I'm staying here. I've been given a job, a command. I've made a commitment, and I'll die guarding the beans if necessary. And God said, I like that. Look at this guy. He's willing to die, guarding the beans. Would you do that? Would I? Been there, done that. We'd say, hey, look, this doesn't make sense to die for guarding the beans. But he made a commitment, and God said, terrific. Now I'm going to use you. And a miraculous victory was granted to Shammah that day. He took on the whole Philistine army and wiped them out single-handedly because God said, I like that. Good for you. You see. Good for you. God, you see, responds to that kind of commitment. Shammah, Jephthah, Hannah. I think of that widow in Mark's gospel who gave her last two mites, her last penny. And she didn't know that she was being watched, but Jesus took note of her and used her as an example for you and for me, for all of the Christians throughout history, of what it means to give sacrificially. I think of Mary, who broke the alabaster box and gave to Jesus that costly perfume, a year's salary. It was her marriage dowry. And she was saying, Lord, you're more important. I'm giving you this. And God says, I like that. And Jesus declared, your story is going to be told everywhere, Mary. And on we could go, page after page. We're not going to, don't worry. But suffice it to say right now, right here today, God responds to sacrificial commitments. When somebody says, this is the way it's going to be, this is what I'm going to do, Lord, I'm purposing in my heart and I'm making a pledge to you, God says, great, I'm going to bless you for that. I'm going to use you because you are a man, a woman, a person who knows the meaning of commitment. God responds to sacrificial commitments. Not only that, but God requires from you sacrificial commitment. The Lord responds to sacrificial commitments. And secondly, he requires of you sacrificial commitments. What do you mean? Jesus said, come and follow me. And that guy in Luke chapter 9 said to Jesus that day, hey, look, good idea. I really want to. My dad's old. Let me go home, and when he dies, I'll bury him, and then I'll come and follow you. As soon as my dad passes away, count me in. I'll be there. And Jesus said to him that day, no man, putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, hey, you're either in or you're out. If you're saying, I'm really going to as soon as, listen, if you ever say, I'm going to as soon as, watch out, you're in trouble already. If I say, I'm really going to as soon as, hey, watch out, I'm in trouble already. Because you know what? As soon as, we'll never get there. As soon as the kids grow up, then I'm really going to serve God. No, you won't. If you're not doing it today, if I won't do it here, I'm not going to do it then. Because there'll be a whole new set of problems that will come my way that I wasn't counting on. Perhaps my body's not going to be as strong. Perhaps there'll be difficulties that I can't predict or don't know about. The key is, today is the day, you see. And those that say, oh, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm really going to get serious just as soon as my dad dies. Let me bury him and I'll be right there. The Lord said, forget about it. You're not worthy. See. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself daily and follow me. See, God not only responds to sacrificial commitment, but he requires of you and me to commit ourselves sacrificially. He says, it's not an easy thing. You'll have to take up your cross. You'll have to follow me. If you want to be close to me, blessed by me, used for my glory, then John, here's what you're going to have to do. It's going to cost. You're going to have to commit yourself sacrificially. And I'll respond to that, but I'm also making a requirement of that, that you sacrifice. Why? Lord, this seems so harsh, and your way is easy, and your load is light, I thought. Lord, I thought you were my friend. What's the deal about this sacrifice, this Jephthah-like stuff that is difficult and challenging? I don't understand, Lord, we might say protestingly. Why would you want me to sacrifice? Three things to jot down. We're almost through. Thank you for your patience, but this is important. At least it is for me. I hope it is for you. Sacrifice, commitment. Commitment, three things I want you to note. Commitment number one cures complacency. Commitment cures complacency. I can get complacent real easily. I can become complacent very easily. Commitment cures complacency. What do you mean? When I say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be up in the morning starting my day in prayer. No matter what. Period. I'm committing that to you today, Lord. See, I've noticed something about my walk. You've noticed something about yours too, probably. When were you doing the best? When were you closest to the Lord and most joyful and delighted in the Lord? It's when you were at the highest degree of commitment. That is when you were happiest. Me too. That's when we were most blessed. We found that to be true. When? Not when you're sleeping in, kicking back, showing up occasionally. It's when you say, Lord, no matter what, this is the course of my life. In my own walk, with my family, in the ministry, in my giving, whatever it might be, these are non-negotiables. And Lord, I'm going to follow through and I commit this to you. And guess what? Suddenly, I find that God does respond to sacrificial commitment. And I find myself on fire and in love and having fulfillment. And when I don't, when I back away and say, well, you know, it was just kind of one of those New Year's Eve services. That's why I made that commitment to read my Bible and pray every single day. Jephthah could have said that. Oh, you know, Lord, I didn't really mean that when I said I would sacrifice my daughter. Or, Lord, I was under stress. ADHD or whatever it might be. I was feeling stressed out and hyper and I wasn't thinking clearly. The battle was raging. Lord, you can't hold me to that. Or Lord, nobody heard me. Nobody heard me except for you. And you won't hold me to that, will you, Lord? He could have backed away so easily, excused himself. Lord, I didn't know it would affect my family. Lord, that you wouldn't want me to do to affect my family, would you? He could have backed out so easily. And you and I can do the same. Oh, I was just caught up in the emotion of the service, or I wasn't factoring in how it was going to affect my family, or I was under stress, and that's why I made that promise to you, Lord, that I was going to honor you with the tithe. But Lord, now my family's under stress, and the bills are piling up, and you can't hold me to that. You won't hold me to that, will you, Lord? Will you? But I look back on my walk, and I can chart on a chart going through my journals. Man, the time when I have dipped low and gone down have been the times when I have stepped back and away from commitment. And the times that I have done well and excelled and experienced blessing and fruit, I can't explain it, but simply to say it's when I've done the things that the Lord put on my heart or done the things that I said I would do, there is a blessing there, you see, even though it might be very painful and challenging initially. You say, well, John, I promised to be in Bible study, or I promised to have prayer times or whatever it might be, and I haven't for some time, and my life is going along quite hunky-dorily. Thank you. Listen. Listen to me very carefully. It's an analogy that I've used before, but it's an important one. It's like a locomotive, a steam engine, let's say, a train going down the track. Because it's being fed wood or it's being fed coal, and the fire is roaring and the steam is being produced, moving that engine. If you stop feeding that engine, stop feeding that fire, the coal or the wood or the fuel, guess what? The train will keep on rolling. And the people in the passenger car will look out and they won't notice anything wrong. And the people in the dining car will still be having their coffee and their biscuits, you see. But it's slowing down imperceptibly when you stop feeding, when you're no longer committed to shoveling in the coal, tossing in the wood. You're saying, oh, that's too hard and it's affecting my family, or I've got an arthritic elbow or whatever it might be. I need to just sort of kick back. The train still goes on its previous momentum, but suddenly it comes to a stop, 6 or 7 miles down the track. And everybody looks, what's going on? What's going on? The problem wasn't right then. The problem was 6 or 7 miles back up track when they stopped feeding the fuel to the fire. And that's what happens to Christians. They think, I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not at prayer meeting. I'm not doing the stuff I said I would do. And things are going along great. Hey, it does. Momentum is still going. But suddenly, you're at a standstill. You're off track. Things have come to a halt. Your marriage is going sour. Your kids aren't doing well. Your life is feeling empty. Depression sets in. Finances dry up. Problems plague you. And you say, well, what's going on? What's going on is what happened 6 or 7 months ago, way up track, when you stopped keeping the commitment that you made to the Lord. See? You promised Him. You poured your heart out to Him. You said, oh, Lord, this is what I need to do and I'm going to do, Lord. I know that You're calling me to be this kind of man, to do these kinds of things. And, Lord, I'm going to do this for You. And then we don't. We're just cruising along and we pull back and we kick back and we then wonder, way down the track, why am I now at a standstill? Because months ago, you stopped honoring the commitment that you made. And this train was slowing down, even though you didn't see it or sense it at the time, until you're stopped dead in the tracks. You see. Amazing. What cures that? Commitment. This is what I'm going to do, Lord, Sunday by Sunday, morning by morning, whatever it might be. This is what I'm going to do, because it's right in Your sight. See, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, didn't He? To that church that had left their first love, remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember how it used to be. Repent and do your first works again. Do what you used to do. Revelation 2, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus.
Perhaps that is a word from the Lord for some of us today. Maybe somewhere along the way, we stopped doing what we used to do. We stopped being so committed, and we're running out of steam spiritually. What's the answer? Get committed again. Well, this is an important teaching, and we're not quite finished with it yet, so please join us again on our next program as Pastor John concludes this teaching. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
In addition to hearing good Bible teachings, it is also helpful to read of God's love, grace, mercy, and truth. For this reason, we have made available the John Corson Application Commentary Set. There are 3 volumes of these written commentaries, 2 covering the Old Testament and 1 covering the New Testament. The commentaries are based on John's teachings, so they contain the same insightful and practical Bible studies you hear on the Searchlight radio program. If you would like to order any or all of these commentaries, you can do so through the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.